Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Well, we're not going to stay long. I have some things today that I believe will help us. These are some thoughts on a message. Some of you may have heard this, but it'll come out different. But I've been teaching on a series of lessons on patience. And all of us, somehow or another, you know, folks, this is the thing is always funny. Folks say, well, I don't do too good in that area. My patience is kind of, you know, it's kind of weak or shoddy, you know. But you'll see that, you know, scripturally, you know, patience is a powerful thing. And it works in conjunction with faith. It says through faith and patience, they inherited the promises of God. And so talking about patience, you know, people joke about it. You know, when you get with people, they go, yeah, man, my patience ain't too hot. I need more of it. We need to pray for patience. You need to pray for my patience. You don't need to pray for that. That's like praying for faith. You already got it. You got a measure of faith when you got born again. You got a measure of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, meekness, temperance, goodness, and so forth. You already have it. So you don't need to pray for it. It needs to be exercised. And so when stuff comes, what's being worked and exercised? Your patience. And so you need to allow patience, as the scripture says, to have its perfect work so that you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And most of us, when we say W-A-I-T, ugh, it's like, forget that. Nobody wants to wait. Nobody wants to have to endure nothing. I don't. Nobody likes to endure anything, but we like the outcome. We like it after we've endured something and it's easy, and we like that. But we don't like going through it. It's not easy. Nope, it's not easy, but it bears good fruit, doesn't it? Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these few moments we have together. And thank you, Father, for the great things that you have destined for this ministry. Thank you, Father, that they're greater than we could even imagine or think, because your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways. Thank you, Father, for the founders of this ministry. Thank you, Father, that since the very inception of this ministry, that we have no debt. We thank you, Father, that as of 1987, this ministry has been debt-free. We thank you for it, Father, that is to your glory and your honor. And we thank you that that will continue. Thank you that you said and spoke to this ministry at its very beginning. The people would come and the money would come. So therefore, every one of our needs are met. We thank you that we have more than enough. And we continue to believe and thank you for the $80,000 per week. Thank you that we've received it this week. In Jesus' name, we look to the Holy Ghost today for direction, guidance. Speak to our hearts in regards to what we hear. Guide our thoughts, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles. I'm going to read John 3:16. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's turn to the book of James. And we're going to look at the first chapter, James chapter 1. And we're going to look at this particular scripture verse for a few moments. James chapter 1. And looking at verse 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to make these statements before as we start here. Great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts will cause great tests. Great gifts will cause great tests. Great gifts require great faith or great faithfulness. I'll say that again. Great gifts require great responsibility. Where much is given, much is required. So great gifts require great responsibility. Great gifts will cause great tests. And great gifts require great faith and faithfulness. You can't be faithful without faith. You can't be faithful without faith. And there's another thought, whatever fills your heart will control you. If it's clothes, that'll motivate you. If it's food, that'll control you. You know that. That's just a simple thing. Whatever's in your heart, whatever fills it will control you. If you're filled with faith, it'll control you. Faith will propel you. To get to James, let's look at James chapter 1. It says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, I'm reading from the King James. Some of them, it just means various tests and trials. So it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or many temptations or trials, knowing this. Well, how can you count something all joy? In the second verse, how can you count it all joy when you fall into tests and trials? You know something. Knowing this, that's a key. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It doesn't say the trial of your faith produces patience. It says the trial of your faith works patience. That means you already have it. It worketh patience. And then verse 4, but let patience. Let, we could say, means to allow patience, means to allow something. Allow patience to have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. The word trying, it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's two things here. Trying means something that's tried or proven. Something is tried or proven, a test. Now, faith. Also, here's another thought, because I've been teaching on patience for a few lessons, but the word faith in the Greek means pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And we don't need to get into that, but here's the key. Faith, that Greek word, can also mean faithfulness. It can. It can mean faithfulness. Now, when we talk about faith, you have to be faithful to something. You can't have faith without being faithful. So when we talk about this word pistis, there's a number of definitions. It means confidence. It means conviction of the truth of anything. It means trust, all of those things, but it also means fidelity, faithfulness, the character of one who can be relied on. So when tests and trials come, your fidelity to who? God. And what you believe is tested. Your faithfulness, your character in who you believe and what you believe is tested. Isn't that not true? Sure is. So when we say the trying of your faith, you could also say the trying of your fidelity to God and what you believe. Works, patience, and when we talk about patience, we can also talk about, with where patience is concerned, it says the trying of your patience. It can also mean perseverance. The trying of your patience, the trying of your perseverance, the trying of your endurance. You know this. Anybody who's been, you could talk about an athlete. When they're tried, when they're pressured, what do good athletes do? They endure. They endure the training, they endure the process, because they're what? They're faithful to that, they're committed to that. They endure the process to reap the reward. What is that? I believe it's in Hebrews 12, it says, in Hebrews 12, 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." So we're to run this race with patience, with endurance, with perseverance, so that we can, or persistence is another word. And you will never, anybody who has achieved some level of excess has had to endure pressure, has had to endure something. Anybody who got a college education had to endure some stuff, had to endure some pressure, had to endure, had to be persistent about it, or you didn't get there. I mean, it could be anything. You can look at good marriages, and good marriages just didn't happen. They had to endure, they had to be faithful to one another, they had to be persistent in that in order for that to do what? To work. Had to. And so it's no different with spiritual things, it's no different with God, that the trying of your faith worketh something. It's going to work your faithfulness to that which you have a conviction for. And if it's God, that's what you're persistent in. No matter what gets in the way, I'm going towards this. We're moving towards this. If I have to leave everybody in the way, I'm going towards that. I'm moving that direction. And so that's that's the point. In other words, that when it says you count it all joy. How can you count something joyful when it's a trial? How can you do that? Because you know that the trying of your faith works some patience, and the patience that's being worked says what in verse 4? Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. That means you lack nothing. And so when we're trying to get things in life, and we want to be perfect or perfected, then let me read that last verse, verse 4, in different translations. The King James says, "But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." The Weymouth translation says perfect, complete, deficient in nothing. Deficient in nothing. The NIV says mature and complete and not lacking anything. That means you lack nothing. That means there's nothing, as they say in the vernacular, rattles your cage. Nothing. Something comes, not a problem. We're going to handle this. We'll handle this. This is a complete Jewish Bible, complete and whole, lacking in nothing. The Amplified says, fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Now, this is the Living Bible. Strong in character, full and complete. Strong in character, full and complete. And just a little note, Brother Hagin, before he passed, before he died, went to heaven. A number of years before that, he said it a number of times. He said, "You know why I'm so settled?" He said, "Because I had to suffer some things." He said, "Nothing rattles me." So that means that he had to endure some things. He had to endure persecution from people outside his camp for teaching the word of faith. He had to endure the issues and problems of running a ministry and all that goes along with that. And he had to endure for years and years and years, decades. And so towards the end of his ministry, he's perfect, complete, steady. So no matter whether things are up or down, he's lacking nothing. Nothing rattles you. And that is what we're talking about, that the trying of your faith, the trying of your faithfulness works endurance or persistence or patience. And so if we say we believe God to do something, it's not as if we're testing the word. The word's already been tried and found pure. We're the ones that have to be tested. We're the ones that have to be tried by who? God. He doesn't try us. He allows the things to happen in our life to prove that we are faithful to him. Faithful to what we say we're faithful to. Isn't that true? I mean, it's not comfortable. I don't like waiting. I don't like going through pressure. Nobody does. The flesh doesn't like it. The soul doesn't like it. But it is necessary. That's the thing. Pressure, and Pastor Judy used to say this, she just says it a different way. Trials and pressure are your friend. Has she not said that? Absolutely. It's your friend because it does what? It develops you. It develops you. It develops you into a strong, mature Christian. Now, let me read this. Let me read this from the Weymouth translation. It says, this is James 1, verse 2. And it makes it a little clearer when the scripture in James 2 says that count it all joy when you fall into. See, sometimes, how many have felt that when they're surrounded by issues? I mean, you got them on the front, you got them on the side, you got them in the back, the side. You are surrounded, as another word means you're encased, you're hedged in. That's another word. You're hedged in. If I try, whatever way I go, there's something that's putting some pressure on me. Every which way I turn, right? Well, that's what the Weymouth says. In other words, when you fall into something, that Greek word fall into means to be encompassed. See, so when it says fall into, count it all joy, when you fall into various trials, that means you're encompassed about with various trials. And what does it say? we're to count it all joy. Didn't say it was joyful. We're to count it joy. That means count it means to reckon it, esteem it, think it, view it. So when we're being pressed on every side, we're to just say, thank you, Jesus. I know my patience is being tried, that I'm going to be perfect and entire, even if you got to say it with grit teeth. Because I do sometimes. Thank you, Jesus. I'm counting this all joy. And your mind is saying something else. Right? It's the truth. It's the truth. Weymouth translation. Reckon it nothing but joy, my brethren, whenever you find yourselves hedged in by various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith leads to power of endurance. Only let endurance have perfect results so that you may become perfect and complete, deficient in nothing. Let me read this from the Living Bible. It says, dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. Huh. It says, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in bloom, I like this, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. I like that. It says, when your patience is finally in bloom, then you will be ready for anything. See? Strong in character, full and complete. You won't try to squirm out of the problem and run the other way. I had enough of this. I'm out of here. No, that's the truth. And I'm gonna make this other statement here. Little patience, little faith. Little faithfulness. Little patience, little faith, little faithfulness. Let me ask this question, because I haven't been around church a long time, 30-some years, but I've seen a few things. How many, because I have, people will stay when you begin to give people instructions. They're like, I ain't taking this. I'm out of here. The trying of their faithfulness works patience. And so what do? They exit out. They leave. I'm not taking this. So they go somewhere else. And so they're never fully developed. Their character is never fully developed because they don't want to stand any pressure. They don't want to be trained. And I'll say this, because I said this in Nanuet in front of Pastor Sarah only because I know it for a fact, but I did it just because she was there. And I said, look, if I'm speaking out of turn, you're here, you know it, say so. She said, no, this is the truth. Through the years, let me say it this way. Many have a call on their life from God. And with that goes a grace. So someone may have a grace upon their life and a call upon their life from God. But it needs to be developed. It needs to be developed. And what happens a lot of times in church is individuals who know they have a call and a grace upon their life, gifts of the Spirit could be operating through them. Word or not, all of these things. They may be an excellent teacher. So there's a call and a grace for that, but they still need to be developed. And what happens is they don't want to place themselves under a leader and submit. And so what ends up happening is that when you begin to try to train and guide them, they go, oh, I'm going to this church. No, we've seen it here. It happens a lot. Because people don't want to submit, They don't want to follow directions. They don't want to be corrected. And so Pastor Sarah and Clinton dealt with it a lot. A lot. And people would just boogie on out to go start their own church. I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. Many started their own church without being developed, without submitting and actually working alongside and knowing how to function in this call and grace. And so it's like being aborted. You abort out something before the full term. And so, and not to say that they can't produce, but they may not be as productive. Just like people who get married too quickly without really finding out what marriage is all about and getting some counsel, but they just jump in, get married, and have to bump through a lot of stuff. But it would have been different or better had they gotten some counsel and guidance. Isn't that not true? I mean, just in life, we know that. And the same things apply in ministry. So what happens here is that it's the same thing. People come and they need to be developed. We all do. I do. I mean, that's why I find it people who come into this ministry that have more years of experience or more spiritual experience, you know what I do? Shut up and listen. I do. I'm quiet and listen and observe. Because you haven't been there. You don't have that experience. God is putting you around people that have more experience to impart into you for a purpose and a reason. And be wise enough to know that. That why am I around these people? Why am I around the caliber of people that God is allowing me to be around and rub shoulders with? Be quiet. Listen and observe and learn something. Be developed, you see. And if somebody has to pull your coattails, you just go, okay, not a problem. Thank you. Because they love you, you see. So anyways, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's just back up here to Hebrews 6. But through the years, you know, we've observed in ministry, and I've observed it just in the business world. I'm sure some of you have, even in business. People don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be guided or trained. People don't want to endure anything anymore. They just want to be put into some position without being developed. Isn't it the truth? We see it in the professional world. You see it in sports. People don't even want to take correction from the coach. They fight with the coach. I mean, that goes on today in sports. You got 20-something coming out of college, making multi-million, doesn't want to be corrected by the coach or developed. So what do? Trade me and go somewhere else. You see. So we need to be developed. We need to be tried. You see. No? That not happening? He said that don't happen? Yeah, it do. You agree? Good. Because it do. It do happen in sports. And you know it. Hebrews 6, it says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the Message translation. It says, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. See, they're perfect, entire, lacking nothing or wanting nothing. But it was through faith and patience that they inherited the promises. The Amplified says, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, I like this, behaving as do those who through faith by their learning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. So you're going to have to practice patient endurance. You're going to have to practice that. Now, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. So let's back up. Go forward. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll be all right. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. Anybody getting anything out of this? You can't say amen, say oh me. Oh me, right? Oh me, oh my, right? Yeah. Oh me, oh my. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Starting in verse 7. Says that the trial of your faith. Now the trial, you can look at that, the trial of your faith. Now this again, this word faith is pistis. It's the trial of your fidelity, the trial of your conviction, the trial of your faithfulness. Same word. The trial means approving. Something is tried or proven. It's the same word as the trying of your faith that we just read in James. It says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various trials, that the trying of your faith, that word trying is the same Greek word as this word here, which says the trial of your faith. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Let me read these from some other translations. When something is gold, or the trying of your faith is much more precious than of gold. I know you've heard this, but how do you get gold? Gold has to first be extracted out of the ground, and it's got a whole lot of what? Stuff. Got a whole lot of stuff. That's like us. We come with some good things in us, but we also got a whole lot of stuff that has to be, dross, that has to be what? Burnt up. And the burning up process is the trying process. And so this same process here, where gold is put under intense heat, things evaporate, things burn off, things separate. And so through the pressure and the trying of our faith, our character is developed, strong character. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, even gold is tested for genuineness by fire. The purpose of these trials is so that your trust's genuineness, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor at the revealing of Yeshua the Messiah. So in other words, this trying of our faith, the trial of our faith, is to test your trust's genuineness. In other words, your faithfulness. This is the New Living. It says, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. This is the Living Bible. It says, these trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of his return. So God is looking or allowing us to be tested and tried and put under some intense pressures in life so that we can come out. I tell you, even just talking about it makes me just go, I don't like this. You know what I mean? We don't like it. The body doesn't like it. The mind doesn't like it. If I said to you, how many want to go to test next week? And you go, no. If you knew it, you'd like, can I go to Jamaica? Can I go to Hawaii for the week? Where are you from? You're from Tobago, right? Let's go to Trinidad. We'll go down to Trinidad for the week, right? Somewhere nice and comfy, right? But nobody likes just the mere thought of it. We don't like it. We don't like it. But it's far more precious to God. The outcome is precious to God and says will serve you or will cause, let me get back here. It says it will, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. In other words, he's going to applaud you for standing, for enduring, for staying steady and true and trustworthy. See? And here's the thing that I found is that when you are faithful in a little bit, so in other words, you may be asked to come over here and there's some pressure, there's some trying, there's some development, and you're put under some trying situations or pressure. If you can handle that, he said, fine, then you can come over here. Now you do this. So it's not like it's going away. It just means you're going to be put into something of a higher nature which has different kinds of pressures, different kinds of tests. I mean, I can tell you for a fact, the tests and the pressure associated with overseeing the sound and video and lighting for 20-some years is different than the pressures and demands, different than overseeing the ministry. A little different. But if you're proven faithful in this, he said, okay, let's see how you do this. See? And I can tell you it's different. And the pressures are different. See, before all you had to think about was making sure the sound and the lighting was running. Now you got something else to think about. You've got the sheep to think about. You've got the ministry to think about. You've got other things that have to be thought about. But God is saying, okay, you handled this, now handle this. And there's a development. You don't just walk into something fully developed. So he said, okay, you're faithful, now you can come over here and take care of this. Let's see how you handle this, because promotion will come out of how you handle. See? So even where that's concerned, you don't just get, see, when I see men and women of God who have been elevated to a place of honor, they earned that honor by being faithful and having to go through some things. So that's why when I say when you're around people that have achieved a place of honor in the body of Christ, I'd just be quiet and listen. Because, you know, who do you think you are, you know, when you haven't achieved that? You need to be developed. And so that's why I say with all of us, you know, we have much to learn. Now, Luke 18:8, you can turn there for a moment. Luke 18, We've heard this scripture before, but I want to use this in light of this, what we're teaching here. Luke 18:8. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I want to go to the tail end of that verse. Luke 18:8. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So the mere fact that Jesus said that must mean that it's not common. Shall I find faith on the earth? Or that same word, pistis, shall I find faithfulness or fidelity on the earth? Shall I find it? Which means there's the possibility that he's not going to find it. Isn't that true? So when we look at that, this is where I was kind of leading today, is that faith, or real faith, genuine faith, is not common. And so real and genuine faith has to be developed, and it's of great value to God. We just read that over here in 1 Peter. It said, your faith is far more precious to God. And when Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth when I return, that means that he's probably not going to find some with it and some without. And it is a precious thing to God. It's a precious commodity to God. So faith, or faithfulness to God, is precious. And we might say it this way, tried faith, developed faith, is rare. Not just faith, but developed faith. Something that has gone through some trials, something that has been matured, is of great price to God. Let's look at Isaiah 16. Isaiah 28. And let's look at verse 16, Isaiah 28, 16. So you really don't know that you have real, genuine faith until it's tested. You know, we can say we have it, but until it's tested, you don't know that you do. And it needs to be approved. I guess that's the best way to say that. And when it is, and you endure, let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. That means strong in character. And that, to God, says, is of far more value than gold, mere gold, to God. And that's why you've heard Pastor Sarah say some things. You've also heard other ministers, Pastor Clinton, say it. It seems as if that responsibilities seem to be piled up on few individuals. You know, like you always say, well, so-and-so was doing this, and so-and-so was doing this, and so-and-so was doing this. It just seems like God always gives them this to do. Anybody ever? Because they've been tried and found faithful. And so what happens is a lot of people get out of the race. They get out of the development process, and so they actually default by giving up, by getting out. And so we have to allow God to develop that in us, develop the faithfulness in us by the trying of that. And so as we do, and that's something that I can tell you, this doesn't happen in a day or a week or a month. It's over time. You can write this down. Time tests your trust. You can say it a whole lot of different ways. Time tests your trust in God, or the length of time of something tests your trust in God. You know, because I trust God. Yeah, okay, good. Let's see. And that's really what God does. Okay, they say put it up or shut up. Let's see. Put it up. Let's see if you do. And let's allow some things in your life to see if you really do trust Him. See, I mean, we're all going through things in various different ways, but time tests your trust in God. And so it's important that we never lose sight of the fact that no matter what I'm going through, He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He said that I am here to help. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. So as we walk through some of the things in life, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So as I walk through life, I need to continue first and foremost what is most important, my love for God. My love for Him, that He loved me, He shed His blood for me, He went to the cross for me, and so I love Him because of that. And He redeemed me. So if nothing else changed in my life, I love Him because of that. If nothing else changed, I love Him because of that. And I'm not letting go of that. But things will change because He's not going to allow something to go beyond what you can endure. Scripture says that. And so as we go through things, keep your love for God, your trust in Him centered, you see. Now, Isaiah 28:16, it says, therefore, thus, this is a King James Version, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. We've heard this scripture. But look at the tail end of this verse. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. Let me read this in the Good News Translation. This now is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am placing in Zion a foundation that is firm and strong. In it I am putting a solid cornerstone on which are written the words, faith that is firm is also patient. That's the Good News Translation. It says, faith that is firm is also patient. So, when your faith is firm, you'll be steady. In other words, you'll endure. You'll be persistent. I know so often, you know, working in corporate America for a number of years, people that didn't want to endure, they weren't patient. They wanted a raise right away. I want more money. I want a different job. I've been in this job for 6 months. I want a raise. I want a new level. We go through this all the time. I don't mean in the ministry, but I'm just saying I dealt with that. I was a manager. I know. I want more money. Okay. Meanwhile, you're watching how they work. You're watching how they produce. And so most folks today, I mean, I dealt with this in software. you know, writing software programs for years, programmers were a high commodity. And especially at the time I was in programming, there was a great need, and there still is, but back then there was a great need for programmers. And so if you didn't just hup to with their demands, they'd get on the phone with, you know, with some head scalpers, and they'd say, okay, I got 3-4 jobs lined up. Boom, off they go, right? And they wouldn't be settled in the new job for less than a week, and the headhunters are calling back again, hey, I got another job for you. I got a better job for you. It's constant. I lived through it. You do, you know what I'm talking about. And so there's no development, there's no character in anybody, there's no sense of loyalty to anything. And so how are you ever going to make it? See, they think they're going to make it by job, you know, hopping from job to job to job to job. And there is some validity in that. But where God is concerned, if you're ever going to be used mightily of God, significantly, you're going to have to go through some things. You have to be developed and tried. And I'll tell you the truth, even in corporate America, there is that. No one who's in a place, an executive level, is going to put some flighty character over their business. They won't do it. They'll watch you for a long time and observe you, and you're not, and you don't even know it. I did. I'd observe how people handled pressure. I observed how they handled other people. I observed how they talked with other people, how they used their mouth, how they interacted with people, how they handled the work, the assignments. And then you said, you observe them for a while. And then see, give them another thing. They don't even know what's going on. And some folks, if they couldn't handle it, they just out they went. And they never knew what they missed. They never knew what they missed or missed out on. And so a lot of us, whether it's ministry or corporate America, really never know what we may have missed out on. That's why it's important to be led by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes the Holy Ghost may say, just stay steady. Let's stay steady. This is a joke here. Nothing's happening. And meanwhile, he knows what's going on. He knows the heart of people. He knows what people are thinking and what is in line for you. Just hold steady. So we can't go by, what does the scripture say? We walk by faith and not by sight. So regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, we're to follow the leading of the Lord, because he will always lead us into a place of provision and a place of success. So just a couple of examples. You can jot these down. What happened to Saul when he didn't obey the direction of Samuel? He got impatient. He was supposed to do what? Wait 7 days. And he didn't. And he saw, what is the scripture? It's 1 Samuel 10:8. Saul started to offer the burnt offering. He wasn't qualified to do that. He was out of place. He was not a priest. The people began to scatter. Philistines started to gather together, and he said, I better do an offering here. And he disobeyed. He got hasty, impatient, didn't follow instructions. Same thing with Moses. Moses did what? He got annoyed at the people. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. He got annoyed at the people he was leading. That's the other thing. We can't get to the place of either disappointment or being annoyed and not obey what God has told us to do. Can't do it. That's Numbers chapter 20, and you can verse 8 through 12. And same thing happened. What happened to Moses when he went up into the mount? Same thing. He said, "Tarry here, I'll come back." They got impatient. They said, "He's been gone too long. Let's make us a god." They were hasty. Got in trouble with God. So we need to be steady. We need to allow patience to have its perfect work in us. It's a process, but it's a good process. It bears precious fruit. And that which is developed in you is priceless to God and of great value. Even though we don't like it, it's of great value.